In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Louisa and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3. We're in the bottom of page 10, Volume 36, 7/24/1938. And Jesus says, "My love for the one who lives in my divine will is such that I let her do whatever I do." So the first one that Jesus loves in the divine will is the Blessed Mother. She lives in the divine will. And so for the Blessed Mother who lives in the divine will, it's so great, Jesus says, his love, that I let the Blessed Mother do whatever God does. Now think about that. That's the thing, that image and likeness, to do what God does. It doesn't mean that Our Lady is God, but she participates in God. And now the one, Louisa, who lives in my divine will, is such that I, God, let her do whatever I, God, do. So again, the firstborn, the newborn of Jesus, the true daughter of Jesus, the true daughter of Mary, does what Jesus does. And that's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And now Jesus is saying to us, if you live in the divine will, my love would be so great for you that I will let you do whatever God does, what Jesus does. So this is God's promise. And like I said before, every page of the 36 volumes is a promise of Jesus to us. And it's more than just being good and holy and saintly. The saints did not do what God does. The saints did not have this great gift of living in the divine will. So, for example, when the priest says, "This is my body," the priest is doing what Jesus has done. And that command, God obeys. And that bread and that wine turns into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. When the priest says, "I absolve you from all your sins," God obeys that command and of the priest, and the person is absolved of their sins through Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the priesthood. So as Catholics, we already see this. We understand that God can give to humans what is divine. And this is the thing that's so amazing. For the one who lives in my divine will, God's love is so great that God will let that soul, and hopefully that's us, and he says, "Do what I do." And that's why Jesus said to the apostles, "You'll do far greater things than I." How can we do far greater things than God? It's because, you know, when we do things in the divine will, what happens is God is doing that. Okay, for example, God never drove in a car. You know, so when you're driving and you're saying, "Jesus, drive in my driving," Jesus is doing that. You're doing something greater than Jesus did while he was on earth. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says he waits for us to use our three powers, the intellect, memory, and will, to surrender our three powers so that God can reign in us. You know, we hear of people being possessed by the devil. And they do crazy and weird and terrible and horrible things. Well, Jesus says that his plan was that God would dwell in us. God would possess us. And not just in one way. We would possess God. It's mutual possession. This is why God created us. He breathed his image and likeness into dirt. And then out of this dust came the image and likeness of God. And now Jesus says, now that the new era has begun because of Louisa, he says he's offering this to us. He didn't offer it to the saints because they didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa, so we have the 36 volumes. And this is something that's so amazing. And so Jesus says, he gives us a hint. "My love for you, if you live in my divine will, is such that I will let you do whatever I do." Think about that. This is why God created us. So what would happen out of this dust, this earth, this human being, would be the image and likeness of God, to do what God does. And then Jesus says, "And then I give this soul, the Blessed Mother, the right over my acts if they were hers. So the Blessed Mother is the first. Adam possessed this, but Adam lost it, the divine will, the live in the divine will. So Jesus comes and he gives us more because it's his life that he wants us to begin to live. I give the Blessed Mother the right over my acts as if they were hers. And then he says, I give Louisa the rights over my acts if they were hers. And now it's us. He says, I will give you the right over my acts, what Jesus has done, as if they were our own. So what God is looking for is he's looking for us when we wake up in the morning with our prevenient act pray, basically, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that everything that I think, say, and do is Jesus. You do this. You think in my thinking. You speak in my speaking. You act in my acting. You, Lord, I want to give you permission to be the Lord of my life. So what the Lord is looking at is he's looking at us and he's asking us to, in what we gaze at, that it's Jesus gazing in our gazing. To give what? To give the Father all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. So we're cooperating with what Jesus has already done on earth. And now we're letting him reign in us. Like he says to Louisa, I want you to be my skin. We're letting Jesus and Mary, basically the new Adam and the new Eve, reign in us. So that we do what our parents, if you want to say, Jesus and Mary have done. So, and when you look at a child, they look like their parents, they sound like their parents, they act like their parents, they laugh like their parents, they walk like their parents. Why? Image and likeness. And that's now what God is asking of us. Are you willing to surrender your own human will so that the divine will reigns in you, so that Jesus is alive in you? Jesus is reigning in you. Mary is reigning in you. So we have to look at what we do during the day, not only from our prevenient act in the morning, but our actual acts throughout the day. Where is Jesus there in what we think, say, and do? Where is Jesus in the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will? Where is the Lord? And that's what we do. We surrender. We're docile. We're submissive to what God wants. And the more that we do this, the more we discipline ourselves to do this. It just doesn't happen. You've got to work at it. That's why you read, you study, and you put it into practice. And this is what Jesus is looking for. And he says this, and I, Jesus, stay there, anxiously waiting that she take my steps to let her walk. So we get up when we're walking, do we say, Jesus, walk in my walking? He says, I'm waiting, anxiously waiting that you take my steps in order to let us walk. Let Jesus walk in his walking. My hands, he says, I wait, anxiously wait that my hands are in her hands to let her do her work. My voice to let her speak. So much so that if sometimes she stops using me, my love reproaches her sweetly and with a tenderness, I, Jesus, say to the soul, to Louisa, and now to us, today you didn't let me walk. Now think about it. Have we let Jesus do everything for us today, in, with, through, and for us, as we do everything in, with, through, and for him? You know, whether you, Jesus sit in my sitting, Jesus dance in my dancing, Jesus sing in my singing. We have to give him permission. We just don't say, we'll take it. You know, I belong to you. I want to live in the divine. We'll do it. No, it's got to be continuous. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Because the time that you don't, he says this. He says, you didn't let me walk. My steps were there waiting for you to walk in you, but you stopped them. How? Because you didn't ask. So again, what we're disciplining ourselves to do is to continuously let Jesus be reigning in us. You know, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, walk in my walking, eat in my eating. You know, whatever we're doing, We want to, when you answer the phone, talk in my talking. We want Jesus to be there. And what will happen is if you let Jesus be there in everything that you think, say, and do, you'll have less to do. Why? It won't be you doing it. You won't be gossiping if you're on the phone. Why? Because Jesus is speaking. You won't be overeating because Jesus is eating. You won't be annoying. Well, maybe. But you won't be annoying because Jesus is not annoying. With the Lord, see, the Lord says, I want to reign in you. I want you to be in my image and likeness so that there's no separation from God. So do you see the difference between being a saint? A saint, some saints were very rude. Some saints were very cold. Some saints were very curt. And if you read the lives of the saints, it was tough being around saints because they were very disciplined. They disciplined themselves so much that they disciplined everybody around them. And basically, you know, this is why there were religious communities. We want to be like him. We want to follow his rule. We want to follow, you know, his teachings. And, and these communities grew, but not, they didn't conquer the world. And that's why there were so many different communities, because there's so many different personalities. And they learned how to be good, how to be holy, how to be saintly in a human manner. And so what Jesus is asking us is, I want to reign in you in a divine manner. So he says this, my works today are suspended because you did not give me the space to operate in your hands. I have been silent because you didn't let me speak in your voice. See, everything has to be whatever you think, say, and do, come divine will. Come divine will, walk in my walking. Come divine will, cook in my cooking. Come divine will, come wash in my washing. It's you want Jesus to reign. You want Jesus, you want that act that you're doing to be Jesus's act so that through you, and in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, you can give God the Father all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that Jesus did. Pray in my praying. Again, it's Jesus has to see Luisa Picaretta in us. He has to see the spiritual DNA of Luisa in us in order to give us this gift of the divine will. Why? Because Luisa possesses the spiritual DNA of Jesus and the spiritual DNA of Mary. She's the only one. So what Jesus is asking of us is, how much have you died to your ego and your will so that this spirit of Luisa that has the truth? We don't go to Luisa for Luisa. We go to Luisa because it's Jesus is there. Mary is there. And that's what we want. We want to live the life of the new Adam or the new Eve. Like Jesus would say to Luisa, Luisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. You're nothing. Why? But it's not to copy her, but to go to her so that we can have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. She's the only one that did this. Adam didn't even do this. Adam had the divine will, but he fell. Why did he fall? He did not have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. It wasn't time yet. And that's why Jesus says, if I give this gift back to Adam, he would lose it again. Why? He has to have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary like you, Luisa, has it. It would have to come through the way Luisa possesses it. So what God has given to us is it's the best. It's the greatest. It's how to live the true human nature. What is the true human nature? It's of Jesus and Mary. It's the true human nature, not the fallen nature of Adam, but the true human nature of Jesus and Mary. So Jesus says very clearly, see, I even kept my tears on my face because you did not take them to use them, to wash yourself, to be refreshed in my love. This is, tears are important, and they're not pity me tears. A lot of people have pity me tears, you know, and it's just a waste of time. It's nothing to do with us. You know, we're miserable human creatures. It's to have the tears of Jesus. Why? What does he say? This is what he says. To be refreshed in my love, to wash yourself, to be refreshed in my love, to take a bath for all those souls who offend me. So I still feel my face wet from my crying. Why has God given us the divine will? It's to do what Jesus did on Calvary in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's to do what Our Lady did on Calvary in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. We stand in the breach for all mankind. Again, it's very simple. Mother Teresa prayed in front of, 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then worked 5 hours on the street and would bring in a baby at a time to comfort that little baby until it died. And that's one person at a time. What Jesus is asking of us is to bring everybody in, past, present, and future. Why? That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did with Jesus Christ. She co-redeemed with Christ. Because of his crucifixion, Jesus wanted her on Calvary to sacrifice her life as well. And so what Jesus is now saying to us, since redemption is done and now sanctification is coming, he says, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like my mother. And that means that it's a brand new beginning for all mankind, because what God is now doing is he's giving his true life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, to us through the newborn, Luisa Picaretta. So it's not far from us. It's as close to us as reading every day, studying every day, the great truths, the great promises that Jesus gives to Luisa. So he says very clearly, My pains are without kisses today. They are not softened by those who love me. And so I feel them all embittered. So the pains that Jesus is going through, what is the pains? It's people living hellish lives on earth, lives away from Jesus. And he says this is the skin that was ripped off him when he was scourged, the skin that was separated from him. The chunks of flesh that were gone from him. He says, and he asks us to be kisses for him, to soothe, to soften for all those who don't love Jesus. So Jesus is saying to us, he wants this intimacy with us. It's not just to kneel down and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, that people are not turning to you. I'm sorry for my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners who don't want you. It's not that. That's what the saints did. It's to soothe Jesus with his kisses. And that's why he said, when you kiss the cross, when you venerate the cross, he says, I accept it as you actually are kissing me. It's the same thing for Christmas when you watch the Pope bring in the baby Jesus, life-size baby Jesus, and the Pope kisses the baby Jesus. It's not something to do. It's Jesus says, like he says very clearly, my pains are without kisses today. So every day he wants us to venerate him. They are not softened by those who love me, he says. So I feel them all embittered. So Jesus is telling us that even though he has redeemed us, we're not sanctified yet. Even though he resurrected from the dead, and this resurrection is for us, we haven't left the world, the flesh, and the devil. We haven't left that yet. And so Jesus is looking at us, and he says, Would you want to leave the world, the flesh, and the devil? You want to be away from that which opposes me. He says, so would you be willing to kiss me, he says, for all those who offend me? And if you think about it, if that was true, I mean, if this we really did venerate Jesus, we would never have our lips away from the cross. It would be constantly kissing him because of all the offenses that are going. But he says, just, you know, so soften it, he says, just to get it. Like the priest kisses the altar every day. Why does he kiss the altar? Yeah, because the relics that are there, this is the altar, this is the sacrificial altar of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's Calvary again, but in an unbloody manner. So we have to get back to venerating the cross, venerating the rosary, venerating, you know, images of Jesus and Mary to show him, to show Our Lady, that we really want to soothe all the embitterment that they are both going through. Okay, so Luisa did that. Luisa, she would venerate the cross. The very first time I saw Archbishop Piceri, the cross that came alive. Remember when Jesus' head was down and Luisa said, I can't see you. And she lifted his face up and the head came right up. And the head is still raised up. A dead crucified with his head raised up. And the Archbishop kissed all five wounds. I was right there. The Archbishop came in and venerated all his wounds. And I thought that was what I said, what a great man. I mean, he understands this crucifix came alive. This crucifix basically where Luisa received her stigmata, and he venerated it to thank God. I mean, it was very humbling to watch him. So he says right here, therefore take all from me and do not leave anything. So here, what Jesus is asking is that we be one with him. We be one with him in every situation. One with him as a little baby. One with him as a child. One with him as a young man. One with him as ready to be crucified. One with him being crucified. One with him resurrected. That's the thing. Jesus says the resurrection was not for after you die. The resurrection is for now, to rise from all that is all the sin, to rise from all that is around us. Let my being with all my acts lean on you, on all your acts. So it's got to be constant throughout the day. It's to be with Jesus throughout the day. Jesus walk in my walking. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. You know, you stub your toe, Jesus. You know, I want to be one with you on the way to Calvary as you stubbed your toe. You know, I want to be one with you. The intellect has, we have to begin to think things from a divine perspective. The memory, we have to remember Jesus throughout the day, not just morning prayer or evening prayer, but throughout the day. It's always got to be Jesus. You got to train yourself to focus on Jesus. Discipline yourself to focus on Jesus. Now, how do you do this? It's by the rounds. When you pray the rounds, you begin to understand how to be in communion with Jesus continuously. You know, praising him, glorifying him, worshiping him, letting Jesus worship the Father through you, through your senses, gazing and listening and speaking, letting Jesus be there. And that's why he says very clearly, let my being with all my acts lean on you. Let on all your acts, everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do. So I shall call you my support. I shall call you my refuge. I shall put in you on the shelves of my holy divine will, reigning in you all the things that I, Jesus, did, all the things that I, Jesus, suffered while on earth. So again, it's what Jesus did and suffered. So the Lord knows that as humans, the fallen human nature, we have to occupy ourselves with something. That's why people get hobbies. They don't have, Jesus isn't enough for them. So they have to find something to do. They have to find something to learn. Like, think about, being a musician, the hours that you have to spend, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, the hours that he had to spend lifting weights. For what? For a couple of years, he had that. But it wasn't eternal. You see him with his shirt off now, and you want to turn and run. You have to find Jesus. He has to become our everything. Our hobbies, our hobbies are it's something to do to keep ourselves busy. So what Jesus is saying is, I have to be your hobby. I have to be your everything. I have to be your weights that you lift. I have to be the music that you're studying. And all that time. I mean, think of the millions of hours of wasted television. I mean, these are wasted hours. Have nothing to do with anything. Does it? Nothing to do with eternity. And Jesus is saying, would you be willing to focus on me? Instead of hours, those millions of hours that people spend in front of the television. The iPhone, millions of hours people spend on their iPhone. Jesus is saying, would you help me? Would you be with me? Would you let me be my support? Would you be my support? Would you be my refuge? I want you to reign in you. I want you to participate in everything that I, Jesus, did. And I, Jesus, suffered. And what the greatest thing that we could possibly do, but that to do with everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus suffered. I, Jesus, shall multiply them. I, Jesus, shall increase them 100-fold. So what he's saying to us is that he wants us to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus reigning in us. You know, that whole thing of. You know, me, I, me, mine. Why? What does that have to do with anything? You know, the trophies, the awards that Hollywood gives to one another. The becoming the best. You know, the best at golf. Why? What has that got to do with Jesus Christ? What has that got to do with eternity? And Jesus says this. He says, will you be my support? Will you be my refuge? Will you be my image and likeness? He says, I shall multiply them. I shall increase them 100-fold. I shall make them rise continuously to what? What does he do this for? For new divine life, so that you may take for yourself whatever you want. Giving myself to everyone, past, present, and future. So that everyone may know me. Everyone may love me. That one priest that said, my mother taught me my very first word, mama. The priest said, she should have taught me God. When you think about it, he's right. God is everything. If we're going to spend eternity with him, then we have to know him. We have to love him. As a saint, we serve him. But in the divine will, we possess him. He possesses us. So what God is asking is, he's asking us to focus on him and him alone. And when we do this, our life becomes happy. Why? You begin to live heaven, peace, joy, and happiness. When you're thinking about yourself, it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Jesus doesn't want that anymore. He says it very clearly. I want to give you this 100-fold. Why? I will make them rise continuously to new divine life. Why? So that you will take for yourself whatever you want to give Jesus to everyone, past, present, and future. Think about the priest on the altar. He says, this is my body. And then he can give the Holy Eucharist to everyone in the church. That's Jesus is saying that to us. I want you to give me to every human being that ever existed. Past, present, and future. Let them get to know me. Why? To know me and to love me, Jesus says. This is so what's happening is This is the gift of gifts, as he says. This is the prodigy of prodigies, to begin to live a life that the saints only dreamed of. Volume 36, 8, 6, 1938. While I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus visiting my little soul, all goodness told me, my little daughter of my most holy divine will, you look for your shelter in me. And I, Jesus, look for my shelter in you, Louisa. And now he's saying that to us. Are you trying to find shelter in me? He says, let's just think of like of an umbrella. Are you trying to find shelter in Jesus to protect you from the elements? He says, I'm looking for my shelter in you. So you see the humility of God. God, you know, we want to be protected by God, yet Jesus says, I want to be protected by you. I mean, that's total surrender to us. It's total surrender to him and total surrender to us. That's marriage. It's the mystical marriage. It goes even beyond the mystical marriage. It's to be, as Jesus says, heaven is the wedding feast that for all eternity. God is one with us and we are one with God. As Jesus said to Louisa, in heaven it's going to be as if each of one of us had our own separate Jesus, all to ourselves. Now that's why we're so uniquely different, because he says each person is going to become a divine masterpiece that God will celebrate, and we will celebrate in God. To enjoy my creature and to rest in her, so that her love may defend my love and from all the other fences of all the other creatures, past, present, and future. So it's we go to God to be defended, be protected like an umbrella. Yeah, but he goes to us so that we can protect him from the offenses of others. See, it's standing in the breach for others, but mainly to protect Jesus, to love Jesus for others, in the name of others. So when you pray in the divine will, Jesus hears your voice, everyone speaking in the whole universe with your voice. That's just astonishing. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. God hears that from everyone, from every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed, every animal, every vegetable, every mineral. Everything is an explosion of I love yous to God. And that's what God is asking us to do. Would you be willing to enter into my life, because that's what Jesus does, so that I, Jesus, can do this in you. You can begin to live this divine life, live in the divine will. So he says very, very clearly, he says, you have to know, again, this is another command from Jesus. You have to know. You know, that might be another book that we could do. You have to know. Because he does say you must know, but we haven't really done you have to know. Each time the creature enters my will to do her acts, I, Jesus, give her my divine life while she gives me her human life. You see what's happening? It's an exchange. We give to God my it's yours. My life is totally yours, Jesus. And Jesus says, my life is totally yours. It's an exchange. It's the kiss of heaven and earth, as Scripture says. It's to begin to allow God to reign in us to such a degree that he is reigning. He is breathing in our breathing. He is beating in our heart beating. And that's what he's waiting for. You have to know each time the creature enters my will. How do we enter into God's will? It's very clearly. We say, come divine will. Breathe in my breathing. Every time Jesus says you do this. Come divine will, beat in my heart beating. Come divine will, come walk in my walking. Come divine will, cook in my cooking. Come divine will, drive in my driving. Every time you do this, he says, every time the creature enters my will to do her acts, I, Jesus, give her my divine life. And while she gives me her human life. To see the great exchange between heaven and earth has happened because of the souls living in the divine will. This is what Our Lady did. And now Jesus is showing us this is what Louisa did. And now that Louisa has done it, a human born of original sin, we also can do the same thing. Again, this gives us such joy, such peace, such happiness that we are becoming one with God as God originally planned. I mean, he says that he's thought of us from the beginning of time to the end of time. And he has planned for us to be with him for all eternity, to get to know him, love him, and not serve him, but to possess him. So what the Lord is looking for is he's looking for souls who want to do this. So if you have the book of heaven, Jesus has given you the book of heaven. No human has given you the book of heaven. Jesus has planned this as Lord, as Master, as King. He knew from the beginning of time that you would have this book. So what is this book? What is it about? As Jesus is showing us, it's to begin to live, to let God live in us, reign in us, to the point that we participate in God as God originally planned. We don't become God, but we participate in God. So he says the saints will circle the sun of the divine will like a halo because they did the will of God. Okay? But the children of the divine will who will live in the will of God will enter into the sun and participate in God. This is what God originally planned. And what God is asking of us, are we willing to enter into the sun, S-U-N, of God, to participate in this eternal light? And when you read the book from the Vatican, the sun of my divine will, the S-U-N of my divine will, is Luisa Picaretta. The Vatican has stated this. If this is true, that the Vatican has done this, it's another verification that this is what God wants for us. He wants us to begin to trust him so much, Jesus, I trust in you, that we believe in him and hope in him and have confidence in him. It means so much to our God that we give our fiat, as the Blessed Mother gave. The angel said to Mary, you will be the mother of God. She goes, how can this be? I don't know man. I want to please God in all things, but how can this happen? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat, let it be done. Same thing here. Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. How can this be? There's no way I can possess this. I'm human. Jesus says, I'm going to do it. And we say, let it be done. It's surrender. See, if the surrender isn't there, God can't do it. Our human will, our free will is too powerful for God. He will not interfere. Our free will is so important to God that he will not interfere with it. If we want to go to hell, he says, then you have to go to hell. If you want the divine will, he will say, then I will give you the divine will. And it's so then you got to prove it. To go to hell, you got to really make sure that you do everything opposite of what God wants. To live in the divine will, you have to learn how to do this. And what we have the book of heaven. So thank God for that. Thank God that we have this opportunity to read, study, and to put it into practice. So Jesus says this, therefore, the soul remains provisionized with a divine life for each act done in my most holy divine will, and I, God, remain honored. I, God, remain glorified, surrounded by many human lives, since one act in my divine will must be complete. So here is, we're surrendered to Jesus, our heartbeats, our breath. We're surrendered to Jesus, our steps. Whatever we think, say, and do with our three powers, we're surrendering everything to God. Why? So that we can accomplish what he wants for us. And what he wants for us is not just to do the will of God like the saints, but to live in the will of God as Our Lady did. To live in the will of God as Luisa does. And that's for us to live in the divine will as Jesus, Mary, and Luisa live in the divine will. And so what happens is Jesus says that he says very clearly, he says, the soul remains provisionized with a divine life for every thought, every word, every deed, every act done in my divine will. And therefore, for every thought, every word, and every deed we do in the divine will, God remains honored. God remains glorified. Why? It's surrounded by many human lives, which are now divinized because of Jesus doing them. Because an act done in my held divine will must be complete. It must be one with God. It's not just a fallen human nature, but it's Jesus's divine nature. It's Our Lady's nature, one with Christ. And it's now the Luis is the newborn who possesses this. So it has to be complete. So I, Jesus said, I give all of myself in every thought, every word, every deed. It's when the priest says, this is my body, and there's a thousand people there, it's not just one, a percentage point of Jesus Christ. It's the totality of Jesus and every host. Same thing here. I give all of myself, not keeping anything of my supreme being. And the soul gives me all of her human being. Okay, so this surrender, this docility, this submission is important in a age where submission is hated. To submit yourself to be docile is hated. It's despised. I've got to be me. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do this. That's humani vitae. We failed. What was human life all about? That's what Jesus wanted to show us. And the mankind said, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. Again, the divine will can't reign. It's got to be submission, docility, surrender to God. And that's why he says it. He says it very, very clearly. He says, I keep nothing to myself, anything of my supreme being. I give to the soul because I give all of who I am to the soul because she gives all of who she is to me. It's the mutual surrender. A marriage is 100%, 100%. It's not 50-50. Those marriages fall apart. A marriage is 100%, 100%. Total and complete surrender. And that's what God is looking for with this, as he calls heaven the mystical marriage, or not heaven the marriage, the heaven the wedding feast. This is what God wants for us. What good does the creature not receive then by possessing many of my divine lives? Every thought, every word, every deed that we do, another life of Jesus, another divine life of Jesus. It's not human. As a matter of fact, it's perfectly human as God originally planned. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Our Lady, by giving her fiat mihi, even before her conception, receiving the divine will, she had the perfect image and likeness of God. That's why God could be conceived in her. She became God's paradise. Now Luisa, a newborn, a human of original sin, is completely surrendered to Jesus. Why? How do we know that? Jesus said, go to bed when she was 17, and she stayed there for the rest of her life. Stop eating. She stopped eating for the rest of her life. Stop drinking. She stopped drinking for the rest of her life. Stop sleeping. She stopped sleeping for the rest of her life. And don't think it was just a gift. She says many times, I feel very, very drowsy. And she'd say, Jesus, if I fall asleep, wake me up. She tried with all her might to obey. And that's why Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. Luisa was obedient. Luisa, again, Adam was supposed to give this gift to his children. Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God. Adam wasn't the mother of God. God had to give this to a human. So what is happening? Jesus is saying, I'm going to bring about a new beginning for mankind because of what I've done with Luisa. She says, what good does the creature not receive by possessing many of my divine lives in this most holy divine will? As she keeps repeating her acts, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will. And that's the thing that you've got to continue to repeat, or fiat. Fiat is the same thing. Let it be done to me as you say. You know, constantly surrender, constantly submissive. Why? What does that do? It gets rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. It gets rid of the fallen nature. So many of my divine lives are added, Jesus says. He says, and I then give the virtue to free her life to be able to say, so many lives I have given to Luisa and now to us, as many lives as she has given to me. Every thought, every word, every deed. Jesus, this is what Jesus is waiting for. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Constantly saying to God, well, let it be done as you say. Not as I want, but as you wish. And that's what God is waiting for us. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.